Ministries.com.
Which is at this point. Watch this. This is going to work. There we go. All right. So sorry for all the glitches this morning. Sometimes you can't do much about those. But here's what we see happening in this story. In the beginning of chapter 4, we find Jesus. He starts teaching on the shores of Galilee. And you can see a picture of that here. We'll keep that up for a bit. The crowds, though, while he's teaching on the shores of Galilee, they get a little too big. The people can't see him or hear him, most likely. So he gets into a boat, and he pushes out into the water a little ways. Then he sits down in the boat, and he begins to teach them from the boat. Now, again, this passage that we just read says that at the end of the day, when evening comes, he tells his disciples, we need to go to the other side of the lake. Right? He doesn't tell them exactly where, but the first thing that happens in this story is this: they got in the boat with Jesus. All right? They got in the boat with Jesus. Now, that might seem like, okay, well, should I take a note on that or something? They got in the boat with Jesus. Seems pretty simple, Captain Obvious. It is, but it's important. Because, see, these disciples, they believed in Jesus. They had decided to follow him. So, of course, when Jesus says, come on, let's go to the other side of the lake, they agree to go with him. It seemed harmless enough of an endeavor, right? A number of them were fishermen. They knew how to sail across the lake. It's like no problem. So the disciples got in the boat with Jesus. Not just them, but a bunch of other people followed too, because there were other boats that start heading in that direction. Now then, in verse 37, it says that the storms came up. The storms came up. This was not uncommon on the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee, as you can see, is surrounded by kind of hills and mountain areas, mostly around it, and it exists lies in a low area of the land. It's low to sea level compared to the other areas around it. It has this cool, dry air that is produced in the region, but then the areas around it have this warm, moist air, and when those two air systems collide, we get storms. We get storms, and the result in this particular lake is sudden and furious storms. Now, besides this, now I've never been there, but from what I've read, this lake, it's large enough that they call it a sea, but it's not all that deep for as large of a body of water as it is. And so because of that, when there's a storm that arises, there isn't a lot of water to kind of absorb the storm's energy in the depth of it, so the water gets whipped up rather easily. So that's a little bit about the Sea of Galilee. It makes the lake pretty volatile when a storm comes up. So this, in this story, we see that suddenly the wind picks up. The waves start coming in. They start crashing over the boat, and they're not stopping. And so the boat starts to fill up with water. Well, no problem, right? I mean, Jesus, the Son of God, he's right there in the boat with them. But he's asleep. He's asleep. He was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. So this incredible storm's raging all around them, and Jesus is taking a nap, right? He isn't doing a thing about it. Now, they've probably been waiting, thinking, all right, we'll ride this out. Now they're getting a little desperate, but Jesus is still sleeping there. You know, Jesus is probably going to come through here, right? He's going to do something, but he's taking his own sweet time, and he's not waking up. And that's the situation the disciples find themselves in. So they take things into their own hands, and they wake Jesus up themselves. Is there anything more annoying in life than being woken up before you're ready? I mean, you know, the alarm goes off, you had a late night, and you forgot to turn it off. You didn't have to get up for anything, but your work alarm goes off in the morning. You're like, oh, I forgot to turn that off. Now, I don't know about you, I've got to go across the room to turn my alarm off, because if I don't have to go across the room turn my alarm off, I will never get out of bed. So, you just drag yourself over there. I didn't need to get up. Or worse yet, when someone else is trying to wake you up, maybe parents, you can relate to this with your kids. They're up. They're like, come on, wake up. And you're like, let me sleep. Let me sleep. Or they're just fighting in the other room. and you got to get up and do something. All right, so, you just want to sleep. Well, Jesus is asleep. You can imagine the disciples, like, drawing straws. All right, who's going to wake him up? Right? He's sleeping through the storm. I ain't waking him up. You do it. You do it. But they, somehow or another, they wake Jesus up. And they say to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Now, if we could translate that into maybe our own language or our own words right now, it's like, we're about to die here, and you aren't doing anything. Don't you care about us? Don't you care about us? Now, it seems like a fairly innocent question they're asking, but think about how Jesus may have felt being asked that question. And the closest thing I can compare it to is like with my own kids, right? Sometimes, we try to be a family where the kids can share what they're feeling, right? We don't want them to have to bottle it all up. We allow them to share it. But sometimes, when we don't handle things the way they think we ought to, they're open and honest about that, and they let us know. I know it seems maybe shocking, but, kids sometimes don't like it when we don't do what they want. And then, if they're really upset about it, sometimes they can say some things that are pretty hurtful. As a parent, maybe you can relate to this, right? "You're so unfair. You never listen to me. You're the worst parent ever. You don't care about me at all." Now, in all honesty, they don't really mean those things. They're upset, they're hurt, they're expressing frustration. But honestly, I know that, and I still don't handle it well as a parent. I know I'm not a perfect parent, but when they question whether or not I love them, whether or not I care about them, that cuts pretty deep. And I think, look, if you realized how much I loved you, if you realized how much I cared about you, you'd never, never say something like that. And then I think if it hurts me that much, when my kids or someone kind of accuses me of not caring or not loving them, I think how deeply must it grieve the heart of God when we do that to him? God describes himself in the scripture as merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness toward us. And to hear, "Don't you care about me?" That's got to grieve his heart. Now, fortunately for us, God handles this kind of thing a whole lot better than I do with my kids. Right? Maybe it's because he's been hearing it from billions of people for thousands of years. But that's ultimately what the disciples are questioning. God, why don't you care? Well, Jesus gets up and he calms the storm. He rebukes the wind and the waves and the storm disappears. And we're thinking, peace, finally. Right? It might seem like everything is all in good. They're safe. They're sound. After all, the disciples, they came through the storm a little wet, but, that's about it. But look what Jesus says once the storm is quieted. He asks them two questions. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? And have you still no faith?" Why are you so afraid? And have you still no faith? And I'm guessing you probably could have heard a pin drop on the boat deck when Jesus asked that question. Why are you so afraid? Where is your faith? I mean, even though they made it through the storm okay, they still lost the battle of fear versus faith in this instance. Jesus was looking for them to have unwavering confidence in him, even though they were in the storm of their life. Now, as followers of Jesus, we decided at some point to get in the boat with him. At some point, we decided that wherever it was he was taking us, we were in, right? We were going too, and it was fine for a while, but then storms came up, and if you haven't hit them yet, you will at some point in your life. The wind's going to start to blow. The waves are going to start crashing into your boat. Maybe the first wave is when you lose a job that you really liked. And it came out of nowhere. But just when you thought you made it through that, then you took a look at your finances and realized what a hit that it took and how things were starting to fall apart. And pretty soon you find yourself in a hole that you think, I'm never going to be able to dig myself out of this. Just wave after wave. Or maybe the first wave is a friendship that turned bad, right? Someone close to you pushed you away or did something to hurt you, and you had to deal with that pain. And then just when you thought you were kind of getting through that, a loved one passed away. And that caught you by surprise. Or maybe you even knew it was coming, but it still completely overwhelmed you. I'm not sure what the wave might be for you. Maybe the wave you're facing is just a series of disappointments, right? I'm disappointed in my job. I'm disappointed in my finances. I'm disappointed in my career, about my health, about my body, about my self-image, about my self-worth, about my singleness, about the state of my marriage, about the broken family that I've been a part of, about my life, right? It's just wave after wave after wave of disappointment. And they keep coming at you. They're pounding at the boat, threatening to tear it apart, and the water just keeps pouring in. In some ways, you probably feel like your head's underwater and you're just gasping for air, and you don't know if you're going to make it. So things were going really well when you first started following Jesus, but now you're going through the worst moments of your life, or at least what seem like it at this point. It seems like you're in the storm of the century. You've been praying about it. You've been crying over it. You've been questioning why it's happening and just trying everything you can to make it through. And meanwhile, Jesus is asleep. He isn't coming through for you. Now, the headline of this story that we just read is, you know, Jesus calms the storm, right? That Jesus did this amazing miracle. But the heart of the conflict in this story is this: when things get hard in your life, what is it that's floating your boat, right? How do you operate? Is it operating out of fear, or are you operating out of faith? Right? When the storms are all around you and it seems like God's not stepping in, do you still keep that unwavering confidence in Him? And so here's a thought for you. The storm will come in waves. It's going to come, and it's going to come in waves. But our faith or our confidence in God should never waver. Right? The storm will come in waves, but our confidence in God, our faith, should never waver. Because God is that big. Now, how do I keep that perspective? Because that's tough. Like, it's one thing to say, yeah, this is how it's supposed to be. How do I keep that perspective? And that's what I want to spend a few minutes on this morning. Okay? So, five things that I want to suggest to you about keeping your faith intact when this unwavering confidence in God, when everything around you is falling apart. And the first thing is this: remember who you got in the boat with. Remember who you got in the boat with. All right, you're in the boat with Jesus. That's who you got in the boat with. At some point in your life, you decided to follow Him. You came to realize that He's the Savior, the promised one of God. He rescued you when you were drowning in your sin. He can rescue you now in this storm. In fact, He's the only one that can rescue you. He's the only one who can deliver you. You are in the boat with the Savior of the world. Don't forget that. Remember who you got in the boat with. Right? The second thing is this: remember who's in control of the storm. Remember who's in control of the storm. We saw that in this story. But in our lives, Jesus knows about the storm that you're facing. Right? He's not unaware of what you're going through. And more importantly, He's in control of the storm that you're facing. See, not only is He the Savior, the rescuer, and the deliverer, He's also the Lord. He's the ultimate ruler over everything. This storm you are facing is no surprise to Him. It's not catching Him off guard, right? When the disciples woke Jesus up in the boat, it's not like He said, Hey guys, sorry I dragged you out here for this. I had no idea this was going to happen. He knew what was going on. If you are going through a storm in your life, he knows about it. He's got it under control, and he knows what he's doing. As hard as that is, he knows what he's doing. Don't be afraid of the storm. Have faith in the one who controls the storm. Okay? So the second thing, remember who's in control of the storm. The third thing is this. Remember that he cares about you. Remember he cares about you. It's so easy when we're in the middle of storms that God doesn't seem to be working in. It's hard to see him. It's hard to see what's going on. It's so easy to just begin to think he doesn't care. But don't think that for a second. No matter what it is you're going through, Jesus cares. He's a God who loves us so deeply. Scripture says that his thoughts towards each one of us are more numerous than the grains of sand on the seashore. That's a lot of thought. He's always thinking of you. Scripture says that there's not a sparrow that falls to the ground without him noticing, and Jesus says, you're worth many sparrows. That seems like a weird way of saying it, but he's saying, look, you're so valuable to God. He cares. He cares deeply about you. Even when it seems like he's asleep, he cares about you. But here's the fourth thing. Remember that he is taking you somewhere. He is taking you somewhere. In chapter 5, verse 1, it says, at the end of the story, they came across to the other side of the lake. Right? They got to where it was he was taking them. They reached the other side of the lake. Now, I'm not sure why they didn't see that coming. I mean, if you think about the situation, did they really think that the Son of Man, the Son of God, was going to drown in that storm? Headlines, it all came to a surprising end when the Son of God died in a freak windstorm off the Sea of Galilee. I mean, that wouldn't work right there in chapter 4 of Mark. I thought there were going to be a few more chapters to the story, right? All right, you'll get that later on if you didn't catch it that. All right, so that wasn't going to happen. That wasn't going to happen. And we've got to remember that he's taking us somewhere. So you might feel like you're going to drown, but he's got a destination in mind for you. He'll get you to the other side of the lake. Now, maybe for you, the other side of the lake is getting you through the financial disaster. Maybe it's to get you through the physical pain that you're dealing with. Maybe it's to get you through the difficult circumstance that you're facing. Or maybe it's to get you out of this world and into an eternity where you will be with him forever. Because ultimately, once we get in the boat with Jesus, that's where we're all headed. That's our ultimate or final destination. But whatever the other side of the lake looks like, he's got that in mind for you. He's taking you there, and you will reach your destination. But only if you, point number 5, remember to stay in the boat. Right? Remember to stay in the boat. There was a time where Jesus was teaching large groups of people. People were following him everywhere. And he taught some things that were really hard for them to swallow. And so people began to, disperse. They were like, yeah, this is getting to be too much. I can't follow this guy. It was just getting way too hard to do what it was he was saying. And Jesus asked his disciples, what about you? What about you? Are you going to turn away from me too? And they said to him, Jesus, where else would we go? You're the only one who has words of life. There is nothing better out there. Keep following Jesus. Stay faithful to God's word. Don't abandon ship. Remember to stay on the boat. And here's just the last point that's related to this, but kind of stands on its own that I want to kind of end with this morning. Don't take shortcuts. Don't take spiritual shortcuts. All right? Now, part of staying in the boat means not taking shortcuts. You know, like, well, since this area of my life isn't going so well and God isn't doing anything about it, I guess it's no big deal if I don't really obey him. My job isn't that great. I didn't get the position that I was really praying for, so you know what? And I think I deserved it. I'm just going to slack off a bit more at work. It doesn't really matter anyway. I'm drowning in my marriage. My husband or my wife isn't giving me what I need, and God isn't changing them, so I'll just find someone else who will make me happy. I'm pretty stretched in my finances, so I'll just take a shortcut. I'll just maybe not give to God as much as I know he wants me to. Remember when Peter denied Jesus three times? It got him out of a jam. It was a convenient shortcut. There were all these people who were looking at him and were going to accuse him and he was going to be in trouble, so he just lied about not knowing Jesus. It got him out of the jam in the moment, but he had to deal with the pain and regret of that moment. He had to face Jesus knowing what he had done. It might seem like the easier thing to do now, but when you try to take spiritual shortcuts to get yourself out of a storm, you're going to end up in a worse situation. See, at first all you had to deal with was the pain of the original storm. But now you've got to deal with the pain of the original storm and the sinful behavior you've just engaged in, plus the shame of having turned away from God. So what once was a storm has now turned into a hurricane. And the road back is like 10 times harder. Once you start compromising and taking spiritual shortcuts when things are hard, it's a long way back to God. So don't bail on Jesus. Don't ignore his word. Don't compromise his ideals just because he isn't responding the way that we thought. He is calling us to live by faith, to have an unwavering confidence in him. So stay in the boat. Stay in the boat and don't take shortcuts. Now, we're going to close with a couple of worship songs that are relevant to this. If the team wants to come up, that's great. I'm going to pray in just a moment. But for some of you this morning, this message is something that you go, yeah, that's good stuff, but there's nothing really going on in my life that is like that right now. And so you got to hold on to it for a rainy day, no pun intended, with the storms. You'll catch that later too. Just kidding. Because you know what? I'm not really struggling right now. Things are okay. That's fine. Remember these things in those moments. But for some, this is hitting really personal this morning. It's like, yeah, I'm there. It's not just a message topic this morning. You're in that storm. And so this morning, I just want to pray, if that's you, I want to take a moment and pray for you along these lines, and then we're going to close our time in worship. So if you would join me in just a word of prayer in this moment. Lord God, we are grateful that you have invited us to follow you, that you are the one who has words of life, that you are the one who has given your own life for our sake because you love us so much. And as we get in the boat and journey with you, we know that there are storms that we're all going to face. And for some people here this morning, that's what they're facing now. And the storm seems overwhelming. It seems impossible. Father, I want to pray this morning that you would allow each one here who's maybe in that place to live and continue to live from a place of faith, not from a place of fear. Help us to remember that you are the one we're in the boat with, that you're in control of the storm, that you care about us deeply. Help them to remember to stay in that boat and that you're going to ultimately take us to the place you want us to be. And so we won't deviate from your course. We won't take shortcuts in that. Lord, that is a difficult thing to do, an easy thing to say, an easy thing to pray, but a difficult thing to do. So I pray for each person who's in that place this morning. that in their fatigue and tiredness and weakness, in their place of wanting to give up and wanting to quit, I pray that you would bring strength, that you would bring presence, and that you would bring peace, a presence of you that will just allow us to keep on going. And Father, above all, we pray that you would give us the strength to trust you, to have that unwavering confidence in you, even though it seems like you are asleep, even though it seems like you haven't responded yet. You have something in mind. Help them to trust you as they go through this storm in their life. And for each one of us here who maybe aren't facing that right now, Lord, we know that time will come. Anytime we take a step of faith and trust in you, there's bound to be a storm that comes as a result. And so help us to remember these things when those waves start coming at us. And Father, as we enter into a time here of worship through song, we pray we'd be able to simply express these desires to you in a form of worship, in a form of prayer through song, that trusts in you and says, God, despite what's going on in my life right now, I know I'm okay because you're with me. We pray these things in the name of Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.